what are we going to talk about? And what would people be interested in hearing? And so we thought, well, we'll talk about this. And then we started thinking about our granddaughters. And so we're thinking about staying spiritually centered in stressful times. And what ticks us off the most? Well, number one on our list was people not wearing masks in grocery stores.
And I'll just hold it here. I think it can pick up both our voices that way.
I probably can.
It also drives me crazy nowadays when I see, we're members of one party. You can only guess what that might be.
I don't have a clue.
Okay.
And down in Henderson County, it's been just really ridiculous. Anytime there were signs, you know, political campaign signs put up from our side, the other side goes through and either defaces them or steals them. And it's been a real problem. And that just drives me crazy because it completely wipes out the whole concept of democracy, of having different opinions that are acceptable. So that's one of my pet peeves. Whoa! At the moment. I don't know who is doing that.
But I
think
this big old orange thing in here.
Well, that must be me.
Oh, that might.
Yeah, well, okay. Thanks.
Sorry.
I'm just going to suggest, I mean, I can hear you fine. Can y'all hear?
Yeah, fine.
Yeah, I don't even think you need the mic.
Okay.
I don't.
Well, the thing is, we've got to record them.
Oh.
Okay.
For posterity, because this is going to just lay people.
Yeah. We're going to sell it and get rich.
Absolutely.
Yeah, there you go.
And in Henderson County right now, it's apple season. And everybody from Georgia, Florida, New Hampshire, Colorado, every place you can think of is coming to Henderson County. And they're all coming to the street that's on our we need
highway
to take home. So the line was stretched up last week.
2 miles.
For more than 2 miles, and it just crawled. It was lined up both ways. There was no way they could turn into the apple farms, so people just sat there, and we sat and thinking, well, we wanted to get something to eat, and
unless
it's apples, we aren't getting anything to eat. And so the whole weekend was like that. It starts off on like Thursday, and it goes through Monday, and so if we try to go out, we've got to go the back route all the way around, you know, 100 miles out of our way to get to the grocery store. And so that really kind of ticks us off. And so we kept thinking about, well, what kind of things really tick us off that are just nonsense? And how do we get so bent out of shape over something that's so trivial most of the time? But we are in stressful times right now with the pandemic and with the E word coming up, where all these political ads come on, and you know they're lying. This one's a cheater. No, this one's a worse cheater. Well, this one's a crook. No, this one's a bigger crook. And they keep going back and forth. I mean, thinking, you know, what happened to talking about your qualities and things like that? So then we get kind of bent out. Eileen talks back to the television.
You know, that was the first argument we ever had in all the years we've been married, with me talking back to the television and not knowing that his ex-wife had done that. That's really the only argument we've ever had. So over that, it's funny. But, you know, it is so easy nowadays because we're all so sensitive. And we're even if you think, well, I'm not stressed out about this, I don't. It's there. It's like we're a fish swimming in jello or something. It's just hard to get through everything. The milieu around us is one of consternation and sometimes outright hostility. As a person of color, Richard, I don't know if he gets this upset about it as I do, but we have people driving down the streets in pickup trucks with huge banners about their candidate. I won't name him. And he's right under me.
I know exactly what you're talking about. It's everywhere.
It is. It is.
And then the insanity that has been our daily lives since this whole thing, the pandemic started, and the election, it's just almost too much to bear. The first couple of months when people were hoarding toilet paper, mm-hmm. What is wrong with us? So lots of different things like that. We have our granddaughters, the same thing. We have two granddaughters. They live 3 miles down the road from us. It's only a 5-minute drive. One's in high school, one's in middle school. And the one in high school is really conscientious, and she makes sure she lets us know ahead of time where she has to go or has to be. And but the younger one, who's a seventh grader, and just mm-hmm. she's sort of your flibbertigibbet, And she'll call, what was it, she called you when you were in Asheville the other day?
Yeah, wasn't enough I could take her to school.
What time are you supposed to be there? Oh, 15 minutes. Stuff like that. But of course, they can do no wrong, so they get by pretty quickly. But one of the funniest things that that we've encountered, Richard, when you were in CVS in the drugstore the other day.
Oh, yeah. I was asking for Prevagen, and the pharmacist started laughing. And he said, we've had to hide Prevagen behind in the counter. And he said, some of the old folks were stealing it. So they stole all of our, stole all our inventory of Prevagen. So they really must have needed it.
It's for mental alertness and so forth as you age.
Oh, I should
get we'll get you some.
It's easy to remember.
If you could
it's
remember.
Too late.
Yeah, I know it's too late. We have a lot of trouble remembering this and that.
Remembering to take it.
Yeah.
But we live in some really strange and I think difficult times. But then I remember, gosh, there's been so many worse things that people have lived through around the world and are living through right now. But let's face it, we're pretty spoiled. We really are. We think it's terrible that, some of the shelves in the grocery store aren't fully stocked. Isn't that awful? Ain't it awful? Ain't it awful? Yeah. Do you have any pet peeves, stuff that you've noticed, especially in the last 6 months or 9 months as this has been going on? Stuff that drives you crazy? Yeah, Kevin.
I think just a general outlook of watching everybody in fear.
Oh.
And I think fear is our biggest enemy.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And with all due respect, it's like the masks.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I'm your guy you hate. I'm an honest individual.
Yeah.
This is the first time I ever put a mask on.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
Whoa.
I've been in this since it started. I'm a builder. I'm in people's homes. I respect their homes. You allow me to come in, and I'm a sanitary person as well.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. I believe that my spiritual beliefs tell me to not live in fear. When you fear, you're taking away from your life. I have children. It hurts to see that they have to go through this.
Yes.
Feel like they live in fear.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody around them is fearful. And we think we're doing our due diligence. This is all just my personal belief.
Okay.
I don't want to pose this on anybody.
Yeah.
Okay.
But fear is fear.
We respect
biggest,
that. Yeah.
Yeah,
we
it's our biggest adversary.
Yes.
And it is a time, how do you protect your children? Even before this pandemic, though, we were living in a state of fear.
Mm-hmm.
This is not the world that certainly we grew up in.
No.
Mm-hmm. Where I could ride my bike all day long when I was 10 years old. the city and just, you know, come home before supper time. And that was it. It's not a world that we live in anymore. And I feel sorry about that, that our children, our grandchildren don't enjoy that sense of freedom and safety and security in our world. Anyone else have a... Yes.
Yeah, I think one of mine is everyone seems to be in a rush and okay. so hurried to get to that next important thing in their life. And I was in the grocery store, and I had a lot of groceries, and the cashier had a problem. And this lady was standing behind me, and I thought, oh my gosh, I'm holding her up, I'm holding her up. And I must have said twice, I'm really sorry, and the cashier was trying her best to get through it. And she said, you know, it's really not that big of a deal. I have nowhere to go. She said, I'm present right now. And she said, the universe made us stop for some reason to be here in line. And then we started this conversation, which took another 10 minutes for them to reboot the register and everything.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But it is. It's kind of a reminder of we're all so hurried. We're in such a rush to, we've got to get this done. We've got to be there by this time. We've got to get, you know, don't stand here too long or whatever. And that was just really a nice gentle reminder to say, you know what, I'm just present right now with what's going on.
Yeah.
And it's all
good. Yes.
I think of Ram Dass would be here now. Mm-hmm. And boy, that the pandemic has really forced us to be here now, you know, and not, and to be centered in our homes and with our families. And that's kind of nice. You know, in a way, and it's making us rethink how we live our lives from day to day when this is not the case.
That's true. Well, Hal, one of my solutions my dad gave me when I was growing up, because I grew up in Kansas, and we had people come to, black and white, come to our farm and guns and try to run us out. And my five sisters and I each took a gun, and we went out and we threatened the men, and fully intended if they started shooting, we would start shooting. So growing
and
up,
you were just
that,
a kid.
I was maybe 6 or 7.
Mm-hmm.
And our dad told us one of his big lessons, it's not about you. It's not about you. It's about the other person. What they think about, don't let them drag you into their party. And he kept telling us that. And it was easy to forget. Sometimes I forget and I go off on the left wing and the right wing, and I'm ranting and I'm inside, my blood pressure is going up, and I'm, you know, all this stuff. And then I can think, okay, I don't want to be here. And I think, well, this is not about me. All those people in line to get into the apple farm, they're here, and it's not about me. How can I be present in this moment? And it just takes a lot of energy to pull that energy being scattered back in and to make peace with it, you know, taking a deep breath. And so for me, my mantra is, it's not about me. And keep remembering that. Eileen has a very different mantra that helps her, and we use it. Do
you use it? The one that I use, well, first of all, let me comment on what you said.
Okay.
I remember Lily Tomlin in her heyday saying, well, what do you mean don't take it personally? I'm a person. How am I supposed to take it? You know, and that rebellious side of me often thinks that too, even though I know the truth of it's not about, you know, it's not about me. So it's about getting myself out of the way and being able to think clearly and peacefully. The one that I use a lot is, you know, the classical thing, somebody cuts you off in traffic. And I'm not a person who swears a lot, occasionally, but that rule, we have a dear friend who sometimes comes up here with us, you know her.
Mm-hmm.
Swears like a Marine when someone cuts her off.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Have you been in a car with her when she's driving?
I've just been standing next to her when she's walking.
And she's like in her 80s and it hasn't dulled anything at all. She just lets it fly and it's so funny. But some years ago it occurred to me that when I watched somebody do this, I thought, I've done that before to somebody. You know, there I go. I've been in that place. I've cut somebody off. Maybe not, you know, intentionally or whatever, but so when people do things or our stuff happens around us, oh, there I go. You know, I've been guilty of that before myself, so how can I judge somebody else? And it just really helps me remember and helps me remember who I am and therefore who they are too.
For me, it helps me remember who the person is, that they're human beings. And we all make mistakes. And this person was right in the middle of that mistake. And I was right behind him. Maybe it was fortunate for them that I was behind him, because I don't go ranting and raving, because I could take my mantra and remember it's not about me. I don't know what they were doing. Maybe they have kids at home. Maybe they're frustrated here. I have no idea what their circumstances are. So I can try to give people a little space. And giving them a little space also gives me space to connect with them on a human-to-human level. Is that person has the same needs that I do. They have the same things going on in their lives that I do. And when I rush and rushing home or rushing here, then I need to be cognizant that I could be interfering with other people's lives too. And so it brings me back to that moment of awareness. And it does help calm me. It does slow my heartbeat down. And so I can be at peace. And I think that's so important right now with feeling the pressure that we're feeling with just, you know, going out and, you know, taking the kids out. When we go to take the girls to school, we go through a questionnaire, they have, get their temperature taken. If their temperature is high, they get back in the car and we go home. And so it's, and they're stressful and they're nervous too about, you know, will I be able to go to school today? Will I be able to go to cross country or go to soccer? And so there's all these things going on and we don't know. We certainly don't know. So we're kind of on the edge of knowingness. And I think that could be a good place to be centered in that moment of just, I'm at peace right here, right now with all of us. And of course, many of the spiritual teachers, Jesus is talking about being present to the moment and being aware of ourselves. And I think that's such an important lesson of being aware of your own energy, your own feelings, your own thoughts, your judgments and criticisms, and saying, oh, wow, I'm like that person I saw on television. Okay, and then just backing off a little bit. You know, unity is a very practical religion. It helps us live a better life, a better quality of life. And I think by remembering to be present and to be present to ourselves and our own emotions really is a powerful tool.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think that the conditions that we're living with now, and I think we're all probably making the best out of it that we possibly can. I know some people suffer more than others from the irritations, the tensions, the restrictions that are placed on us now. And in a strange way, I feel like the key to all this is forgiveness. Mm-hmm. Forgiveness for ourselves. We're short-tempered, we're easily irritated nowadays, unless you're saintly like Bill is.
Thank you, sir.
We need to forgive ourselves. You know, and it's mostly about being human and forgetting that we're also spiritual. And what that reminds me of is, and this, I'm I'm sure a lot of you probably know about this, and just in case you don't, Hawaii is practice of Ho'oponopono. Who's familiar with that?
Yeah.
But it occurred to me, and this just happened this last week, that is perfect. It's a perfect tool right now. You know, when I'm short-tempered, it can help me know that to say, I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you, I love you. And that's what the four parts are, just to refresh your memory. I'm sorry. I'm sorry for having judged you. You cut me off, or you were short with me in line at the supermarket or whatever it is, or you bought all the toilet paper before I got there. You know, I'm sorry that I judged you. Mm-hmm. And then the next part is the please forgive me. Why would I be asking? No. Yeah, I haven't done anything wrong. Please forgive me for judging you, for thinking of you in some way that's other than the spiritual being I know you truly are. See, that's on me. My judgment of you is on me. And then thank you. We always thank our teachers. Thank you for helping me understand where I was making this mistake. Thank you for letting me see my error. You know, for reminding me that we need to be kind and gentle and loving with each other. And then the fourth piece is, I love you. I love the spiritual being that you are, no matter how you're behaving. You know, it was your judgment that I wrongly judged. It was your behavior. It's not who you are. So I love you as you are. So it's, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. So think back to those little irritations that you may have been reacting to during this time, or maybe there's some major issue. Let's just do that process together. And if you want to close your eyes, if that's more comfortable for you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I thank you. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I thank you. And I love you. Just bring to mind right now someone or something that's a thorn in your side. Maybe has been for a long time, or maybe it's a new thing. And just picture that person or that institution. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you, and I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I thank you, and I love you. Another most important act of forgiveness is for ourselves. So, speaking or singing those words to our innermost self is a cleansing, purified, sacred and holy act. I'm sorry, please forgive me. I thank you, I love you. I'm sorry, please forgive me. I thank you, and I love you. And so it is. The silence and the energy in this room feel lighter. Mm-hmm. It does to me.
Yes.
Because our hearts are lighter, and our minds are clearer, and we're all right here, right now. What an amazing thing to experience. And you can experience that every day, all day long, wherever you are, if you prefer to sing it like I do, and somebody looks at your mirror, that's their problem, not yours. You forgive them, right? Yes.
I think the beauty of practicing Ho'oponopono is that it doesn't have to be triggered by a specific instant.
Yeah.
If all of us paused in the day driving into town or whatever and ran this through our minds, that we would gradually raise the vibration on the planet, and you would put that loving energy out there.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, I was quite excited when I first stumbled on that, and it's something I do regularly every day.
It is a practice that I think is for me as rich as meditation. That's not to say I don't meditate, but this is something in a moment that I can do too, no matter where I am or what the situation is. If I can remember, which is the trick, that's why we take Prevagen. I can remember to do this. I'm letting myself and everybody else off the hook. And then we're equals. We're spiritual brothers and sisters. You know, isn't that a world you want to live in? I do. And like you said, by doing it, we're raising that vibration for everyone. How many people are on the mailing list here, Bill?
Almost 200. If those are ever, you know, for everybody.
Just think, if all of those people assumed this practice, the implications, the amplification, that would send out into the world. You know, small group of people can be very effective.
Absolutely.
I think it was Margaret Mead who said that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes, it was.
So, thank you for sharing this experience with us.
Thank you.
Thanks for being open to our ideas. And we just bless you all
from
the bottom of